to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
What is up, Left Traffic Nation? Welcome to episode 154 of the Left Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the Professor Brandon Crowd. Hope you all had a fantastic weekend. It was busy over here. Had a wedding on Saturday, which impacts Friday and impacts Sunday, as you know. Fantastic time. The awesome part was they had a 9-piece band, bass, guitar, keyboard, drummer, trumpets, trombone, you name it. It was nice to hear real music. Had a great time. Sunday, only got off the couch to check the meat on the smoker, which was awesome. Was able to catch the truck race, fortunately, Saturday before the wedding and all of those festivities, which was awesome. And Sunday, had plans of just watching the race because my Patriots played on Thursday. Lions weren't playing until Monday night. But as we all know, Mother Nature put her foot down and said, no NASCAR for you on Sunday. Granted, we did get at least the first stage in. Let's see here. Speaking of football, how bad are the Michigan teams right now?
And thing sucks.
Yes, that is applicable both for the Michigan Wolverines, the Michigan State Spartans, and the Detroit Lions. Oh, wow. You know, Michigan barely able to beat Illinois. Wisconsin manhandled the Spartans, much like they did the Wolverines a few weeks back. Michigan, two tough games coming up, heading to Happy Valley, Penn State this Saturday night, a night game. It's going to be a whiteout. Michigan is not getting out of there alive, that's for sure. And then the Fighting Irish the following. Michigan's got a tough road ahead of them. Supposed to be our year, though, folks. Supposed to be our year. And of course, wow, what more needs to be said about the Detroit Lions? You know, was reffing bad? Yes, but, you know, you shouldn't have that many bad plays on your own side of things to where that impacts it. Granted, I saw a picture, I don't know if it was real or not, of 13 defensive players being on out there for Green Bay at one point and all that. But, oh, God, I'm not even going to the game Sunday anymore. I'm done. I'll go on Thanksgiving. I'm done. I got to change topic here because I will just get flustered and frustrated. Anyways, all right, so one other random side story. Last night was recording with one of tonight's guests a little early, and I come downstairs into the man cave, and the designated podcast computer had a screen that just said disk error, and I'm like, whoa, that's a little strange. So I text a buddy of mine, and he goes, yeah, dude, your hard drive shot. You need to back that thing up as quickly as possible. So I back that up and I'm like, all right, I need to get through this interview. Thankfully, it worked. And then afterwards, before I went out for the Lions game, was able to, you know, the new computer that's upstairs in the office, brought that down, downloaded everything. So here we are, up and running, which is fantastic, obviously. All right, few things to talk about tonight outside of just the racing and the interviews and all that. Jennifer Jo Cobb. Tires from some fans. We got to talk about that. We got to talk about not just team orders, but manufacturer orders. Got some stuff to talk about for the end of the season here with the podcast, the year-end awards, all that good stuff. Couple twists. Should be a lot of fun. All right, enough talking. Before I get into today's show, don't forget the Lap Traffic Podcast is a part of the Big Heads Media Network. Big Heads has you covered from sports to entertainment, so go check out Big Heads Media. Huge show lined up for you guys today. Not one, but two NASCAR Truck Series drivers will be on. That includes Tyler Ankrum and this weekend's past winner, Spencer Boyd, both alums on the show, coming back on tonight. I'll get your recaps of Talladega and the Cup race, social media. Brian Newdorf is back this week with some weather coming up for Kansas, Lucky Dog lap down, and of course, fantasy to close it out. All right, let's get things kicked off with Mr. Tyler Ankrum. Lapped Traffic Nation, joining me on the line, making his fourth appearance on the Lap Traffic Podcast. He is the driver of the number 17 Toyota with DGR Crosley. He has 8 top 10s and a win in his current rookie year and is currently battling for a final 4 spot at Homestead. Welcome back to the show, Mr. Tyler Ankrum. Sir, what's up, man?
Well, the same old's been up. Just got home from Talladega. Just enjoying my afternoon here in Mooresville. Just getting, you know, tearing down the motorhome and going to Monday morning meetings and afternoon meetings and just kind of getting ready to settle back in Martinsville.
I can't wait. Before we get into the racing, you know, it's that time of year where everyone is either bragging or crying about their fantasy football seasons. I'm bragging and crying across the board, to be honest. Are you in any fantasy football?
You know what, man? To be honest, I was really big into fantasy football last year, but I just found myself getting too caught up in stuff around the house and entertaining business and racing all together, and kind of regretting that I didn't start one up this year because I'm seeing how much fun everyone else is having.
Well, you know, it's real fun when you're winning. I don't remember who did the commercial. I don't know if it was ESPN or who it was. But a couple years ago, like, they just had, like, the saddest song playing and everybody kind of, like, just falling off the couch and, like, someone was, you know, just people getting so upset. Like, that is legit, like, the life of a fantasy football person. Like, it is ups and downs at 1 o'clock and then by, you know, 8:30 Sunday night, you're like, man, why do I keep torturing myself year in and year out? all right, man, let's talk a little bit of racing here. You know, so Tyler, this is the fourth time we've talked this year, which actually I think is a record for the same guests in a year, actually. But I've loved talking with you. I know the listeners like having you on the show. And what I think the cool thing is about when we've talked is we talked pre-win. And how, you know, you were excited to get out there and learn and work with the team. We talked post-win and how you and your dad were in victory lane, like, holy cow, we're going to the playoffs. We talked at MIS, did a little T-shirt swap there, and you were getting ready for the playoffs. And now here you are in the playoffs, made it and advanced to the second round, and you got out of Talladega alive. Man, talk about where you're at mentally right now with everything.
Well, mentally, everything right now, it's Martinsville. I think it's kind of hilarious that everyone thinks of Talladega as the wild card, and just as much, if not more, happens at Martinsville than it does Talladega. So we got to head to Martinsville with our heads high. Right now, we're 1 point outside of the cutoff line. So I think we feel really good. We've been, you know, spending a lot of time in Toyota Simulator working, because to be honest, Martinsville, statistically speaking, is my worst racetrack, and I, knock on wood, absolutely dislike that racetrack, but I always help to run there. The reason why I've always struggled at Martinsville is, you know, just for the simple reason that it goes against everything I was ever taught on the short track series, you know, racing, growing up racing late models and super late models. You're taught to, you know, have a wide entry, arc it in the corner, roll really hard, and never get off the brake until you're ready to get back to the throttle. And now, when you go to Martinsville, it's drive straight in the corner, get on the brakes as hard as you can, and get the back off the brakes as fast as possible. So I've always struggled there for some odd reason, but I think with all the work we've done in Toyota Simulator and all the work in video preparation I've done for myself, I think we'll have a fighting chance.
I love that. Let's go back to Las Vegas, if we can, for a second. You know, you guys were sitting, I want to say it was like 11 or 12 points out going into that cutoff race there. You know, the issues with Thor. Did you guys have like a late mid-team huddle meeting over the radio or anything? Like, hey, things just got real here. You know, how did you guys start that day and how did things adapt for you guys as that race went on and other people were having issues?
Well, I knew at the point in time of the race when Crafton and Johnny blew up, that we were pretty much, you know, sealed in. And I think we're running somewhere inside the top five or top 10. And that's all I had to really do was run up front. And I honestly didn't even really know where I was at points wise. I just knew that we were in. All I had to go do is finish the race. And then, it was the last restart. I qualified, or I was restarting fourth, and I ended up going through the gears, and the motor just fell on its face. And I was really confused, and I ended up dropping a lot of positions, I think back to eighth. And I went back down the backstretch, and it bogged again. And I was really worried. I thought we were blowing up, and then just ended up we ended up burning two pistons out of the motor. Honestly, we're limping all the way back home from there. And we got in by 1 point narrowly, and it seems we're 1 point out again. So, I think if we fight hard, we can do it.
I love that. So let's. You mentioned Martinsville. Have you guys, as a team, have you guys done any type of crew swapping back at the shop or at the track? You know, to you know, maybe one of the other teammates, you know, right rear carriers a little bit quicker than, you know, have you guys done any manipulation like that to kind of give you the all-star pit team at the track?
Honestly, we haven't. You know, all year long, we've been getting better and better. Now, the more my pit crew team works with me, the better they get. And, you know, just kind of seeing the way I make a pit stop in general. And, you know, my team as well, we every single race, we pretty much get better and better. It just, you know, it's cleaning things up on my end. I usually make some pretty crucial mistakes. I made a big one this weekend at Talladega, wheel hopping on entry of pit lane and then speeding on pit road. And, you know, stuff like that, you just have to clean up. And it's hard because, you know, when you can practice it and practice, but then it's way different in the race. And so stuff like that, you always got to work on. But, you know, nothing's really changed a whole lot. We kind of have a formula over there at TGR. And, you know, if it isn't broken, it isn't worth fixing. So I think we're going to stick to that.
Nothing wrong with that at all. You know, sometimes I think, you know, you see guys do that and it's like, well, I get that they may be quicker or better on this team, but they haven't worked with the guys on the other team. You know, there's probably a learning curve with that, even if, you know, from a flat out numbers perspective. So if it, I like that. If it's working for you guys, you got to roll with the punches there. You mentioned Talladega this weekend. Let's talk about that. You started front row P2. If I recall correctly, you guys pitted early in stage one, worked mid-pack a little bit there towards the middle of the race, fell a lap down. You got back on the lead lap and able to pick up some positions there on that late overtime restart. You know, what was that like for you up and down all day at the big Talladega?
Well, it kind of seems like most of my days go. We had a really fast race car starting on the front row. Pretty much ran up front, and then for the majority of the first stage, and we pitted early for gas, just kind of top off. And I want to still think we, you know, even though after we pitted, we restarted like 27th, and we had like six laps, and I still finished 12th in the first stage. And then second stage, you know, it's kind of the same thing. You know, ran up front. Ended up pitting early before the second stage, coming back, getting stage points. And then we started the final stage leading, actually. I think we led like 10 or 15 laps, somewhere around there. And I battled up front for a really long time, had a lot of great experience running up front with those guys. And then had a green flag pit stop, and that's when I had that spitting penalty. And ended up going a lap down, and then from there, it was just, you know, catching back up, and we did a really good job rallying back home to a seventh place finish, which I think felt was really good for our guys, and you know, it was a really good start for our first super speedway.
That was your first super speedway start. Oh, that's right. You weren't able to run Daytona, right? You weren't old enough at the beginning of the year to run that. That's right. I forgot about that. Wow, man, seventh place. I'm like taken aback. That's awesome. Like that, man. It's been so much fun to watch you guys this year grow. Really, it's been so much fun to just sit on the couch and be able to root and watch you race this year. It really has been a blast. I want to get your take. What did you think of the finish of the race and NASCAR's call there? You know, did they have to make that call? Do you think maybe there was a gray area there with Sauter, you know, throwing the block and, you know, coming down the double yellow and Spencer picking up the win there? What did you think of that when you were able to go back and see how that played out there?
I mean, it's tough to say because it's tough to say. And I almost have a biased opinion because, you know, him, having that mishap, helped me a lot because he didn't finish inside the top 25. So it helped me a lot in points and getting an extra point. And then, so it's kind of hard for me to have an opinion, but, you know, it's really simple. In the driver's meeting, they say if you go below the yellow line to pass, or if you go below the yellow line to block, or you end up forcing someone down there, the penalty's on you. And they tell us that in the driver's meeting, the rookies meeting, and there's no warning. So your warning is in the driver's meeting.
Sure.
And so it's tough to say because it does suck that it is there, that rule is there, because, you know, you just want to go out there and race, because ultimately what happened is Riley had a lift out of the throttle and get back on the racetrack. But at the same time, if you didn't have that rule there, all you would do is drive the guy down to the grass. So it, or you end up just wrecking Johnny. So it, you know, you got to go with punches on rules like that. And, you know, they're pretty simple. And Johnny, you know, could have avoided that and probably still would have gotten a win. He had help behind him. He could have probably side-drafted Riley Herbst back to the finish line. There's still plenty of time. So it's so hard to say, but, you know, being in that position, being with the driver in his shoes, between whether it was Riley or Johnny or even Spencer Boyd who won, it's you can't really say, you know. It just comes down to those three drivers, you know.
Sure. No, I'm with you there. So you mentioned Martinsville, a little bit of a struggle for you. But Phoenix, sixth place finish there last year, which is pretty cool. What makes you maybe have a little bit of a happier feeling knowing that you're going to Phoenix after Martinsville?
I feel really good because my second track start last year was at Phoenix. And we finished sixth, I think, if I remember correctly.
Yep.
And that was really strong for me being on my first mile and a quarter. But I love Phoenix. Phoenix is one of my favorite racetracks. I grew up going there as a kid, as a fan, watching the cup races there. And, it's such a great racetrack full of history. And I always love going back there because it's kind of, you know, really, realistically, it's like my home race. For me, California is, you know, only a few hours away. So all my friends and family from California always come out. And then we got something really special sponsorship-wise lined up for Phoenix that you'll find out when we get closer. But some good things are happening for that race.
That's awesome, man. Very happy to hear that for sure. Before I get you out of here, tell everybody where they can follow you at on social media.
Yeah, for sure. Follow me at TyInkrum58 on Instagram, TyInkrum on Twitter and Facebook. And those are my handles. And I just got to thank all my sponsors, Railblaze, Maze Hawaii, Modern Meat, Cinch Jeans, Truex Management, even Toyota and DJR Crosley. You know, those are the people that support me and help drive me to get to the racetrack and keep on knocking down wins.
Absolutely, man. I love it. Well, man, it's Tyler, it's been four appearances this year. Hopefully in a few weeks we have a reason to have a fifth. Good luck at Martinsville and the rest of the playoffs. Big thanks for coming on the show, and good luck, man. Good luck the rest of the way, and we'll talk to you soon.
Hey, man, I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Take care.
You too, man.
Thanks. Well, Lap Traffic Nation, always great to talk to Tyler Ankrum. Definitely wish him the best as he fights to get to the Final Four at Homestead. Noticed a little static there on the background of that interview. I apologize about that. Tried to clean that up a little bit, but that was the best I could do. Hopefully it didn't impact things too much for you there. That's definitely a little odd. All right. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about some points that I have here from Talladega as far as the truck series goes. And then we'll get Spencer Boyd on before I get to the cup race. So, all right, let's see. What needs to be said about the truck race? And in my opinion, there is a lot that needs to be said. So for me,
truck race, it really went as planned. Started off pretty tame for the most part, and I mean, these guys had, they've been off the track for the better part of a month. And then let's go throw Talladega at them after not racing for a month. I think everyone was going to play nice for the most part, at least early on in the race, until everyone kind of got their bearings back a little bit. We had a couple single truck incidents, which that happens at any track. So, single trucks, they happen, and we almost avoided the big one until lap 89 with six to go. While leading the race, Ross Chastain attempted a block, collected about eight or nine with him. Fortunately, it was just about eight or nine. But having said that, I talked last week a little bit as I previewed the Talladega truck race that Ross needed to go out and have a good outing at Talladega. He was so hot late in the spring and summer. We all know he had a few slip away from him a little bit, appeared to be losing some momentum when the playoffs started. The fortunate thing for him was he had such a commanding playoff points that were collected, that kind of really helped propel him into the second round, and things are definitely tightening up for him. And Talladega needed to go out and be a statement race for him, I felt. And to be honest, it was looking like it was going to be that way until, like I said, he went to throw a block and just lost it, and took claim of a few other playoff victims or participants as well, became victims of that. The fortunate thing for Ross is he's still not out of it, and I think he could go out and win at Martinsville or at ISM without any problems. He could still technically point his way in, but a strong finish at Talladega really would have made things a lot easier for his path to Homestead. But things are the way they are, and we will see what happens with Ross going forward here. The good thing is, if you are a playoff driver, two races left in this round, and two will make it in on points because of the non-playoff driver winning this race. So that also adds to the mathematics, if you will, and how everyone will kind of play things out going forward over these next two races. I mentioned it at the start of the show. Feel-good moment happened Saturday during the race. It involves some fans and Jennifer Jo Cobb. Cobb hits oil, flat spots the tires, didn't have any race-use tires from the rest of the competition, and some fans bought her a set of tires live during the race. Shelled out a couple bucks, $2,400. So the story reports, she was trying to think if she had a credit card with enough room on it. I think the cool thing is the fans wanted to stay anonymous. They didn't want any kudos. That's one thing to take away. A couple other things to take away. Man, just how crazy it is to race. $2,400 for four tires. Another thing to take away is that not every driver, just because they're on TV, are making bank, and that's proof positive there. But I know most of us know that. I think we sometimes see everyone complaining, social media and all that, don't always use the platform for its intended purposes. But that said, this was a real good feel-good story to come out from fans that were at the track, had a little bit of coin to spare, apparently. And I just think that's a great story for the sport, to bring some positive light to the sport instead of all the negative stuff that flies around on social media there. So that's awesome. Now, end of the race. So race goes to overtime. Sauter looking to get some redemption from an early elimination from the playoffs, and tried to play spoiler. And it looked like he might have been able to do that too. Cross the finish line first, burns him down, gets the checkered flag, and is told on his way to victory lane that he did not get the win. And that Spencer Boyd, who was able to get up to second as the 51 had to lift to come back up onto the track from Sauter pushing him down, was able to pick up the win. And you guys are going to hear from Spencer here in just a couple minutes. Really excited to talk to him. Now, you know, all the debate. Should there be the double yellow line rule? All that nonsense. We all know what the rule is. Sauter, obviously, not happy, indicating not the first time NASCAR's taken one from him. I think based on what the rules are, NASCAR had to do that. I also don't know how you fix it. I think from a driver's perspective, you know, you want me to wreck 20 cars, or do you want me to kind of block and hold my position and not wreck and take out the field? How do I preserve position, save the field? You know, like the bump and run, if you're able to bump and run and move one guy up the track, cool. But if you dump and run and wreck the field, you know, that's frowned upon too. You know, so do we need it? I don't know. It hasn't come up for debate in a minute. You know, it's something to think about and see what NASCAR decides to do going forward. But to have it happen twice or to have issues regarding that rule in both races same weekend, that obviously adds a little bit extra to the controversy and whether or not that needs to get changed. And we'll see. But nonetheless, huge congrats to Spencer Boyd with Youngs there. Spencer, a lap traffic alum, picks up his first win for the team. You heard all three drivers on the show a couple times this year, and huge props to last week's guest, Daniel McFadden, who tweeted out before the race a first-time surprise winner. He couldn't have been any more perfect with that one. Young's getting the win, huge not just for Spencer, who picked up his first win, but for a team trying to establish itself in the ranks within the Truck Series that is dominated by teams like KBM and Thor. So congrats to Spencer being able to keep it clean and up front when it matters late in the race at a plate race. A couple notable: Sauter ended up finishing 14th, Chastain 22nd, and five of the six trucks in the playoffs finish in the top eight. All right, so like I mentioned a little bit ago, Ross needed some momentum. He needed a little bit of a builder. Unfortunately, did not get that. He now sits last in the playoffs, sixth in the standings. However, is only 2 points out of fourth. The truck's very close here in points. Brett Moffitt, Stuart Friesen, see you two at Homestead, which means it's Hill, Crafton, Ankrum, Chastain. Those four fighting for two spots. That's my opinion. Only 13 points separate third from sixth, and only 2 points separate fourth through sixth. So with two races to go at Martinsville and ISM, we are definitely in for some exciting truck racing as we set the final four for Homestead. Very excited about that. That said, we're back to a couple days off for the Truck Series. They're going to skip Kansas this week, and we'll be back on the track for Martinsville, which is obviously going to be exciting. Speaking of off weeks, the Xfinity Series, fortunately for those guys, skipped Talladega. Not that they had a choice or anything, but the Xfinity Series will be back this Saturday as they continue their playoffs with the first race of the round of eight for the Xfinity Series from Kansas. And all right, I've promised, let's talk to this past weekend's race winner for the Truck Series at Talladega, Mr. Spencer Boyd. Lapped Traffic Nation, joining me on the line, making his third appearance on the Lapped Traffic Podcast. He is the driver of the number 20 Alabama Roofing Professional Chevrolet with Youngs Motorsports, and he is the winner of this past weekend's Sugarland Shine 250. Welcome back to the show, Spencer Boyd. Sir, how are you?
I'm doing better than expected, man.
That's awesome. I love it. Man, I can hear it. It's so cool to hear the excitement in your voice, man. That's awesome. Before we get into the nitty gritty and all that, the question that everybody wants to know, did you have a beer to celebrate?
I did not have a beer yet. So, I'm 24 years old. They called me 23. And I haven't had a beer yet. I'm getting ready to celebrate with the boys at the shop. We're having a party here in a little bit.
Awesome.
So excited about that. It might happen then, but I had to run that cup car the next day.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I could see where that get in the way a little bit there.
Oh,
man, that's so cool. So, all right, what has the last 48 hours been like for you mentally, emotionally? Has it set in that yet that in just 23 starts, you've picked up a victory and won a NASCAR's top three series?
Yeah, man, it's insane. You know, I went from being Spencer to all my friends to Spencer Boyd now. A bunch of people know who I am, and I feel like I won the lottery. You know, it's unreal. I'm super excited about it. My guys work really hard. So many people have helped me, supported me financially, just everything to get to this level and to win a truck race. I mean, we all dream about that. So it's just been insane. The texts have not stopped pouring in.
I can only imagine. You know, you mentioned the financial side of things. I believe I read somewhere that this race almost didn't even happen for you. It was a last minute deal. Talk about that.
Yeah, man. It's a lot of people know I do a ton of my own marketing, work hard to find partners and let them know how good NASCAR is and how great of an opportunity we have to be in the sport and reach so many people. I didn't have a partner for this race, and I was talking to Tyler Young, and we were trying to figure it out, and just kept hustling there and came across to Alabama Roofing Professionals, and from the initial contact, they were on board. They couldn't wait. They knew I hadn't won a race, but I told them how good our truck was. I said, we finished fourth at Daytona with the same truck. I'm like, we legitimately have a shot to run well and have the same results, if not better, at Talladega. And they're an Alabama company. So that was it. I wasn't selling Martinsville. I wasn't working on Miami.
Sure.
It was, this is it. They jumped on board literally 8 or 9 days before the race. Went down, shot a commercial with them in their local news. They were so excited. So many great blue-collar folks working at that company. They all wanted to be at the race. We got a ton of them out there. Next thing you know, we get them in victory lane. It couldn't be any perfect.
Man, I tell you, that is like – you said you feel like you win in the lottery from a sponsor perspective of one time, first time deal and boom, victory lane. Those guys are going to want to come back. Something tells me.
Yeah. They're so excited. It's funny. We're talking on Wednesday and they're like, so do we get a diecast? How's this work? I'm like, man, I'm wearing my 1A auto suit. They've been with me a long time. We're putting this deal together late. Let me tell you about how diecasts work. More than likely, you're not going to get a diecast. And they're like, oh, okay. Well, if you win the race, that might change. I'm like, yeah, you know, that's cool. There's 32 of us going after this. And you want to be optimistic,
sure,
you know. And,
sure.
And you know, a small team like Young's Motorsports, we got 3 horses out there in the race every week. And this is their first win. So many people work hard. The fab shop works hard. The people at the front desk work hard to get us to the racetrack every week. And there we go. We win the race. And now we got a diecast being made.
That's
so
cool,
Alabama
man.
Roofing Professionals, I'm like, take note. This does not happen every time, I promise you.
And now everyone for Christmas is going to get a diecast from you. That makes shopping a lot easier for you.
Yeah, it's perfect now. You're getting a koozie and a diecast.
Hell yeah, I love it. That's awesome. It's, you know, you mentioned that the same truck you ran at Daytona finished fourth, man. It is not easy to hit to bring home a truck after 2 plate races. Pretty clean, man.
Yeah, I tell you, we got a little front end damage at Daytona, so we had to work on the nose after that. And then here at Talladega, we got hit on pit road in the right rear, and that was really the only damage we got. Our truck's in one piece. It's got confetti and beer all over it, so we're stoked.
That's awesome.
About that. And here in about 30 minutes, we're going to be all gathered around it talking about the win and just celebrating because – I'm lucky to be holding the steering wheel. We all know that. Having a lot of fun. But the guys that sacrifice, you know, time being away from their kids, wives, to go out and do this whole racing deal, a ton of those guys on the 20 team had never been in victory lane. Obviously, I hadn't been in victory lane in NASCAR yet, except late models and things like that. So it's huge. We're so excited. And some
awesome.
People are like, is there an asterisk next to that win?
Nope.
I'm like, hey, you know, I celebrated B papers as a kid in school, too.
Right.
So we'll take the win. I'm not worried about it.
You know, speaking of the win, and I want to get to the race, but I got to sidetrack here for a second. As you were
pulling into Victor or in down pit road after the cool down lap. Did they not let you go out and burn that thing down because of time perspective with TV and all that? Or did they just say go right to victory lane?
Well, you got to go check out my Instagram. I did a pretty crazy burnout. It just didn't get caught on camera.
Oh!
So they didn't get that on camera, but they get my chubby butt running to cup qualifying. I'm like, okay, so you show me out of breath, carrying a helmet, beer in my hair, running to go qualify a cup car. But you can't get me, you know, when my tongue's hanging out and we're doing burnouts. So it's out there. They did give me my moment of fame there.
That's all good. Good.
I had so much fun. All these people cheering, I'm like, you know, Johnny Sauter, you know, he did his burnouts. These people got, you know, a 2-for-1.
Absolutely. That's awesome. I love it. Spencer, man, the last time we talked, it was at MIS. You, Gus, and Tyler all in the makeshift studio there at MIS. And you guys were talking about wanting to build your speedway tracks a little bit better. You guys felt like you had a pretty good handle on the short tracks. Granted, some will say it was a plate track, but you have to have speed to be able to keep pace, hold the draft, to keep yourself into contention to win. What does this win do for, you know, you mentioned you guys had 3 horses out there. What does this do for the whole organization, this win?
Yeah, well, you know, at the shop, no one's wearing a shirt that says 20, 02, and 12. Everyone there is working with each other, trying to build the trucks the best they can. You don't know what truck's what until the wrap and the seat are in it, you know? So that's the cool thing over there at Young's. Everyone's working really hard to be competitive and win races. And this is a team win, you know? We're all going to be out there celebrating, even the crew chief of the 12 and the 02 and everyone, because it's huge for the organization. The Young family put so much money and time. They've been in the truck series for 7 years. So to finally get a win, it's not a Spencer Boyd victory. It's a Young's Motorsports victory. It's a victory for Chevrolet. Definitely a victory for the little guy. And I'm really, personally, I'm just lucky that I was holding the steering wheel. But if it was one of my teammates, I'd be at that party celebrating the same.
Absolutely. I bet. Man, talk about what it was like as you were coming out of turn 4. You were picking up ground, coming in on the outside. What was going through your mind, man?
Yeah, well, I was 3rd on the bottom coming out of turn 4 and got a huge run. And spotter said, clear, do whatever you want. And I knew that I couldn't go below the yellow line. And I pushed the 51. He got into the 13. They went below the line, split 2nd. I'm like, I'm not going to go there, you know. I have a good run. So I just shot to the outside out of the corner of my eye. In the rear view, I saw what was Brett Murphy. You know, I didn't know who it was. I just saw a truck getting bigger. I'm like, okay, I need him, you know, and propelled me forward. You know, him packing the air between himself and my rear bumper. I could hear the RPM pick up. And I'm like, we're going to get 2nd right here. Like, we're going to blow past Riley Herbst and, you know, be right here. And Johnny moved way up the racetrack. And I thought, man, don't keep coming up. I don't want to right hook you in the fence. Like, right? I've been down this road before. Like, I don't want to do this. Flashbacks of Kentucky. So I'm like, please, don't do this. It worked out. Obviously, we crossed the finish line in 2nd. We were celebrating. You know, our small team were celebrating 2nd place. I celebrated 4th place at Daytona like I won the race. That was practice, apparently. So it was really cool. You come down, all my guys were excited. We're high-fiving for 2nd. You know, these guys worked just as hard for that as they did to win. And, next thing you know, we're headed back to Concord with a
trophy.
Cool moonshine trophy and an anvil trophy. And my phone's blowing up, smoking. I'm going to have to call Apple.
That's awesome, man. It's so cool. You know, I think the cool thing that we've seen in truck and Xfinity this year are some smaller teams that are, you know, kind of makeshift just in that series see some success and be able to go out there and compete. We've seen it at the Cup level, Justin Haley winning Daytona. We've seen it in the Xfinity Series with Kolig Racing. We've seen it in the Truck Series now with you guys and even a couple other teams, DGR Crosley, able to get some success. And I think that just adds to the element of a racing season when you're able to kind of put your stamp on it and you became a household name this weekend.
Yeah, well, thank you. It's crazy. I'm a numbers guy. When you look at it, they popped up a stat, and the last guy to win at Talladega was, Kligerman and then Timothy Peters. Both those guys were not full-time and weren't in the playoffs, and neither am I. I haven't been full-time in the second half of the season, and I wasn't in the playoffs. So I'm like, okay, this is meant to be. This is the 20th race of the year. We're car number 20. So you start looking at all that
absolutely
stuff.
Absolutely. I love it.
You get excited. You go, okay, how do we recreate this? How do we take this momentum, enjoy the moment, move on to the next race, and just try and keep everyone at the organization upbeat and happy. Like you said, a lot of these small teams this year have seen a little success. The 77 SS Greenline finishing second at Talladega. These super speedways, man, you got to be there at the end. You got to build good horses, be out there. So it's exciting to know that hard work, paying your dues can pay off. And when it's you, it feels even better.
I love it. I want to get your take. You mentioned a little bit ago, you ran the Cup race as well. Unfortunately, not the same result, but... Well, what I want to get your take on is we heard a lot about it as far as not just team orders on Sunday, but manufacturer orders, especially with Chevy. How would that impact you mentally, if you're given that type of a, you gotta go out there and work as a team? And almost getting scolded if you were going to try and go out and do something for yourself.
Well, I think you see that model work. You see the Fords with Stuart Haas last year dominate Talladega. You start looking at the trends. If you can stick together and survive manufacturer or team basis, that's great. At the end of the race, you got to be your own man. You got to be willing to, move, dump, take whatever line you got to do to move forward. But surviving as a group through the race, I don't think is terrible. But if you tell someone they can't win the race, I think everyone's going to be upset. And I really don't think anyone got those type of orders. I hate it if someone did, or if the fans think that's the case. They definitely, I feel like every manufacturer, just wants one of their drivers to win.
Sure.
So they look at the trends and try and figure out what's most likely to happen. And you can't control these races. you'll never be able to control who wins the race. There's way too many variables. But you do want to do what you can to put you or your team, manufacturer, in the best position. So for us on the Cup side, it was a rough weekend. It was much like Talladega Nights. If you're not first, you're last. So we went from the highest of highs to low. I'm not going to say lowest of lows, but we definitely went pretty low there on the Cup side. And it was a bummer. But to be out there driving the number 52 Manscaped Chevy Camaro was pretty cool. Running laps at that place is great. Unfortunately, we had a fuel pressure issue. We brought out the first caution. You never want to do that. That's a bad sign. People don't like that. But Blaney got his lap back when that happened. So I'm sure Christmas cards in the mail.
Absolutely, right? Yeah. He's, that's funny, man. All right, so back to trucks. Are we going to see you in the last few ones here this season?
I hope so. We're continuing to put things together. A lot of people always hear about the struggle of the small guy, trying to do it. It's there, right? There's a lot of us in that position. So I'm working hard to put it together. I got a lot of great folks helping me make it happen and continuing to support me. So I feel I'll be back out there in the 20 at least once. And we'll go try and do this again, but regardless, we're going to fight hard every week like we have all year. My guys are going to put forth the same effort. And if we can go collect another trophy or check a flag, that would just be pretty monumental.
Absolutely, man. I love it. All right, where can everybody follow you at on social media?
Yeah, hit me up on Twitter at Spencer Boyd, Instagram at Spencer Boyd PR, Facebook, Spencer Boyd Racing fan page. That's all me. I'm on there all the time. So hit me up. Love to talk about it. And keep posting pictures of Victory Lane because I don't want to ever forget it.
Absolutely, man. Hey, man, this has been so much fun. I really enjoyed this. It's been fun following you this season to watch you and Youngs develop. It's been fun to talk to you a couple times this year as well, man. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Good luck the rest of the season, and let's do it again soon.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Appreciate every time we can jump on the phone here and talk, and appreciate you following the sport and doing what you do. So having fun. Looking forward to talking again soon.
Awesome, man. Have fun. Enjoy the celebration tonight.
Yes, sir. Thanks.
Lap Traffic Nation, how cool was that? Spencer Boyd, man, a few days later, you can still hear the excitement in his voice, which is so awesome. Man, that was a lot of fun to talk to him there and to help celebrate that win. All right, I apologize. We are 45 minutes in. I haven't even talked about the Cup race yet. But when you get the chance to talk to Tyler Ankerman, Spencer Boyd, you don't pass that opportunity up. So I'm going to give a little bit of a condensed Cup version here, mainly because, like most of you, probably had to listen to it on the radio, so didn't get to take in the full picture there. That said, Mother Nature let us get 57 laps of racing in, which was enough to see William Byron win stage one, which had us all on the edge of our seats at the end of that one. Race picked back up Monday, 2 o'clock. You know, I wish they would have tried what they did for the Michigan race when that got rained out in June. I get it's later in the year. Sun sets a little quicker. You know, it's Talladega, which could have some lengthy cleanups. So all that said, you know, if they would have waited till 4 o'clock to start that race to at least let people get home from work to see a chunk, that probably would have been a stretch in hoping for that. But hopefully that's something they maybe consider testing out when this happens in the future. Tandem draft, that was back. That was pretty cool to see. We saw Boyer and Keselowski having some fun out there with the tandem drafting. And the one thing I just want to touch up on again, I talked about it with Spencer a few minutes ago. You know, it's not uncommon to hear about team orders at Talladega and Daytona, but man, did they really stress the manufacturer orders. You know, we saw in the past, as Spencer mentioned, you know, SHR a few years ago, able to pull out to a massive lead on the rest of the field, nose to tail. We've seen Joe Gibbs and HMS. You know, we've seen both those guys do, or teams do, different strategies. You know, they'll fall to the back some years. They'll try to all get to the front in some years. A little different directive with the manufacturer order, at least publicly made by Chevy. I get it. I don't have a problem with it until it comes down to the last lap of the stage or the race. You want orders to keep your drivers in it, to have something to fight for. And I think you have to let them go fight for stage wins. You know, you can't expect drivers just to push someone else to a stage win with playoff points and implications on the line. You know, you want to keep everybody up front until then. I'm with it, but you got to let them go have at it when it comes time to either a stage or race win, in my opinion. Saw lots of speeding penalties during green flag stops during stage two, especially with Toyotas and Fords. You know, we saw some big blocks, and we saw it both in the truck race and in the Cup race, leaders getting caught up and collecting massive portions of the field. We saw, let's see, I think they said it on the radio as I was listening to Jeff Striegel, which was cool to listen to him. Normally I'm watching it, don't get to listen to Lap Traffic alum Jeff Striegel, but it was cool to hear him. Every playoff driver was involved in an incident in some fashion or another. Some favored better than others coming out of those incidents, but all of them involved in some fashion or another. And how about the battle at the end between the Ryans? Newman almost pulled this thing off, but a three-wide race to the checkers saw Ryan Blaney go from spinning on Sunday to winning on Monday. That was pretty cool. And hey, you got to love when these young guys like Larson and Blaney and Bowman, you know, who's got to win this year, get it done. And so that was fun to see, to listen to for the most part there. All right. There is definitely some interesting shakeups here with the playoffs in my perspective. Not a lot of movement as far as points go, but when you assess who's got locks into the next round, that definitely plays a role here. Larson and Blaney winning in round two. Blaney being outside the cutoff line in points right now would mean Alex Bowman, currently eighth in points, would not make it to the next round. And he actually has a few good points to make up to get to sixth place Logano, because Larson above him has a win. So Bowman needs to make up 18 points. Chase Elliott needs to make up 22. Bowyer needs to make up 24. And Byron needs to make up 27 points. That is a tall order going into a mile and a half. When you think about these guys need to cover and make up over half a field on the track. That said, Bowman, Elliott, Bowyer, Byron, while not mathematically needing a win, I assume most of you feel they need a win if they want to advance, which, if one of those guys were to win, now you're looking at knocking out Logano or Keselowski, who are sitting fifth and sixth in points right now and only separated by 2 points. So there is a lot to get sorted out this Sunday as round two comes to a close. So I am very excited for Kansas. All right. Let's do a little social media. Everybody, make sure you check out the website, thelappedtrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lapped Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, @LappedTrafficPC. And on Instagram, The Lapped Traffic Podcast. Listen to the show on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, Blueberry, Acast, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. And while you're there, give a review. Don't forget about the giveaways. Got two of them going on right now. One, less than 135 followers away from giving away a Lapped Traffic t-shirt. And I'll throw in some koozies and some stickers as well. And then the big one at 5,000 followers, got that rear quarter panel to give away as well. So go tell your friends. And of course, thank you to all of the retweets. And speaking of followers, some new follower shout outs. @_Fuller @AndrewJetFuller, who is a spotter at Southside Speedway. Very cool. Devin @Devin_Z71 from North Carolina, a walking NASCAR stat sheet and mechanic. That's very cool too. Adam @AdamInfinger2 loves NASCAR from South Carolina. Allison @AliceOnP1980 from Kentucky and a big fan of that Jones boy. Very awesome. John @Mini_Stock_68 from California, big NASCAR fan. Angelique from Detroit, Michigan, beat writer for the Detroit News and covers the Maize and Blue. Thanks for the follow. Talked to her a little bit over the weekend. Very cool. Refuse to lose 24 @IkeBobby from Massachusetts and a Jimmy Johnson fan. And Gray Warren @Gray_Warren from North Carolina. Spent 35 years in the sport of NASCAR. I could only imagine the stories you could tell there, sir. Very cool. Don't forget to check out the store on the website. Got free stickers and koozies for you as well. Hit up the contact page if you want one. And let's see here. All right. Before we close this out, go check out Big Heads Media at Big Heads Media. And here is another awesome promo for one of the awesome shows you can check out on the Big Heads Media Network.
If you're like me, then every Saturday in the fall is the best day of the week for you. There's nothing like waking up, turning on the TV, and getting ready for a whole day of college football action. Whether you're watching from the stadium or from the couch that day, there's still nothing like the excitement that builds as you wait for your favorite team to take the field. The problem, though, is that for most, this excitement only comes on Saturdays. Here at the Flagship Football Show, we think every day should be College Football Saturday. That's why the Flagship team works all week to bring you the best recaps, previews, interviews, topics, and discussions on all things Ole Miss football. Tune in every Wednesday for our new episode on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. And follow us on Twitter at Flagship FB Show and on Facebook at The Flagship Football Show to keep up with all our coverage. And remember to stay with us every single Wednesday all year as we bring you everything you need to know about the Flagship University in Mississippi on The Flagship Football Show.
I tell you, one of the awesome things about this network is every sport, for the most part, is covered with a lot of schools and a lot of professional teams. Missouri representing. It's a good thing we don't play you too much in the Big Ten because we'd probably get our asses handed to us. But I digress. All right, go check that out. All right, that is going to do it for this week's social media segment. It is time to queue up Mr. Brian Newdor for this week's A Weather at Kansas. Lapped Traffic Nation back after a week off because we got dual weather, guys. And now you can follow him on Twitter at NASCAR_WXMAN. Mr. Brian Newdor, sir, good evening. How are you? Welcome back.
I'm good, better than yesterday. But again, I let somebody get under my skin, I'll be honest.
Can't do that, man. Can't do that.
I know. Somebody's like,
screenshotted their weather app to you now.
It wasn't even a weather app. They just said something along the lines of, I told you it would rain. It looks like my odds were better. I don't think people understand when we put like less than 100% chance of racing, we're banking on the fact that there's probably going to be rain.
Right.
And, you know, I'm going to be honest. This is where Aaron and I try to work together. And sometimes it's a different point of view. We'll look at the same information. I kind of wanted to go more pessimistic, but I kind of like that 60%. And honestly, if that one little small band hadn't kind of slipped in there beforehand, we probably could have gotten to stage. Now, we wouldn't have seen the finish that we had. You know, they would have been racing the rain and, you know, maybe more of the field would have stayed in. But still, you know, it's always one way or the other.
Yep. Yeah. No, I hear you. Hey, man, your Boilermakers with a win over Maryland. But then I think everybody's supposed to beat Maryland. So
except for Syracuse.
Man, the Big Ten is definitely coming down to a battle here with
and so, yes. I mean, listen, the Big Ten should be nervous because all of our touchdowns were scored by freshmen.
Well, hey, I mean, you got to have something. I can't.
Especially
find Michigan. I got nothing for them. So I don't know.
We go back to this, but for us as Purdue fans, I mean, that was the most Purdue play you could possibly have, having your quarterback and your star player go out on the exact same play. It's just and doesn't look like we have Iowa this week, and it doesn't look like we won't have the likes of Rondell Moore. But still, we also had this week the offensive player and the freshman of the week, not to mention we probably could have had a defensive player. So our pick six that we had was done by a freshman. So freshmen were stepping up. They have to. Nice. And that's a good sign. I mean, yes, it's against Maryland, but we'll take it. And I mean,
it's good. It's good experience for the freshmen to get out there, game situation. And, you know, it's much different than on the practice field. That's for sure.
And I took the field at Ross-Ade. I did alumni band.
Nice. I did see that on Facebook. Yes. Homecoming. You were out there. Was it trumpet?
Yes, I play trumpet. Now, my lips are a little, but no, it was a good time. And no, it's cool to be back there and stuff like that. So, no, I mean, listen, hey, at least we scored against Penn State, you know. Maryland
well,
didn't.
Well, hey, and Michigan has them this weekend at Happy Valley at night. You know it'll be a whiteout. Michigan is going to come home with their tail between their legs, I imagine. This
wow, weekend. Come on. Have support on your team.
Well, listen.
You're starting to sound like a Purdue fan.
Listen, there's just not a lot of – there's not much positive to take away. I'm just not liking what I'm seeing out there. But
hey, this was supposed to be your year because Urban Meyer, the cheater, wasn't there. That's what your coach said. Called him out.
I called it out on the show numerous times before the season. This is our
yes, we
year.
Talked because I gave you crap for that
yes,
too. So
yeah, no, yeah, it well deserved. Well, Matt, did you get to take in any of the Monday afternoon race? Or
yes, not? I actually did. I didn't get to see the start, but I got in for the last 20 laps,
excellent,
which I think was enough.
Absolutely, it's, well, I mean that says it all for Talladega. So you're good.
How is the weather looking this weekend at Kansas, sir?
Well, in the overall forecast, there is a chance of showers going into Saturday night and then on Sunday. Small, partly sunny. They could be scattered. I mean, we're still far enough out that this could change for the better. So like I typically do, I'm going to go about 80% likelihood of racing on Sunday, more likely 95 on Saturday. But Sunday's in question. You know, I joke with him in text. I told Aaron, I said, you know, outside of when you shortly left, it's been a pretty dry period while he was gone.
Yeah, first goes,
you're not the
back.
Only person to tell me that.
I love it. Well, that's fantastic, sir. We'll figure out a rotation here, as I told Aaron, for the rest of the season, and we'll collaborate in the off season as well to figure out how to make next year work. But I love it, and we will talk to you here in the very near future. Everybody, make sure you go follow Brian on Twitter at NASCAR_WXMA.
And you know what? I'm going to throw out we're so happy to have Aaron back. He's brought back the Patreon page. It's mostly because of circumstances. I really can't, you know, so I'm really am 100% volunteering my time doing NASCAR weather. I mean, it is 100%. You know, nothing out of it. But Aaron is in between doing things, so he could really, if you appreciate the information we give, you know, and I may help out when he's in a pitch, but, you know, if you appreciate the information we give for the track, and I mean, yeah, you can go to an app. Yeah, you can go to a website. I get that. But not forecasts are pinpointing for a track and breaking down the races like Aaron and I do. We know what fans want. We know the money you invest to go to a race. We know the commitment that it takes and the families and stuff, because we've done it. We've took our families. We spent the money. We've driven there. We know all of it. So that all goes into consideration when we're putting out forecast weather information. And just a real quick update too. You know, if we put out a forecast, we're not holding anything back. A lot of times people are like, well, what are the – you think this is going to break up behind there. You're just not telling us. No, we're telling you everything we know. And most of us, you know, we do this mostly because we love the fans. We love the sport. So if you think about it, you can do a Starbucks a month. Give Aaron a help over there on the Patreon account. That would be greatly appreciated. This is not for me. I'm not asking this because I'm not seeing anything from this. This is me looking out for a guy who's just been doing a great job. But him and I have the same commitment to the fans, to the sport. And like I said, an app is great. You can get that stuff, but nobody's looking at it from the fans' point of view. And that's why we do this in the first place.
Absolutely. And you can go to raceweather.net for all that stuff.
Yes.
There. Sir, good to talk to you, and we will talk to you very soon.
All right, thank you so much.
Absolutely, we'll talk to you later.
Sounds good.
Bye. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, always great to catch up with Brian and Aaron on rotation now on the Lap Traffic Podcast, which is really pretty cool, if I'm being honest with you. All right, it is time for this week's A Lucky Dog and Lap Down Picks. You guys know the drill. Tweet your picks after the race, or you can call the Wave Around hotline, 248-965-9538. Leave your picks there, and I'll play them back. All right. My picks from this past weekend. All right. My lucky dog are you guys, Lap Traffic Nation. Lots of new followers sending in some picks, and of course the regulars. The tweets are they come in quick right after the race, and the Wave Around hotline has been pretty full the last couple weeks, which is just awesome. So this week, lucky dog are you guys. Lapped down are the Detroit Lions.
And things sucked.
Yes, they do. All right, let's get to your tweeted responses. John at VK2John's lucky dog. I threw the Hail Mary in fantasy to get into the next round with Blaney and Sauter. Lap down, NASCAR stole it from me in the trucks. Almost swept it there, John. That definitely would have helped. Scott at 1985 Wagner's lucky dog is Blaney. Lap down, manufacturer orders killing the bow ties. Matt at Matt X Kolb's lucky dog Chase from another crash to getting points. He did get some points. He didn't go away. Lapped down all the other HMS cars. Gina at Gina loves JJ48's A Lucky Dog is Blaney. A lap down Team Chevy, and I am so glad that Newman did not win. All right, non-Newman fan in Gina. I love it. Lady Trey at Lady underscore Trey underscore 13's Lucky Dog Sturgill, because Blaney is the man. A lapped down Team Chevy. Jesse at Iowa NASCAR fans, Lucky Dog Blaney for the win, and Logano for salvaging a good finish with damage, keeping him inside the cutoff. Lap down the whole Chevy debacle. Maybe they were just talking about the Corvette. Either way, it looked bad. Got to keep those things private. Eddie at EG3 underscore Fast Eddie's Lucky Dog Corey LaJoy bringing it home seventh. Great effort for Go Fast. Lap down HMS and Team Chevy. All three cars outside looking in, heading to Kansas. Mick at GoDucks42 underscore Mick, who's headed to Kansas this weekend along with Eddie. Blaney, with all the chaos at the plate track, one thing is consistent. You have to be there at the end. Lap down playoff drivers in general. None had a clean race, but it will make Kansas exciting. Have a blast this weekend, sir. John at D Nader's Lucky Dog Blaney, sponsored Dent Wizard. They'll be fixing a lot of dents after this race. Lap down Matt D. Glass Show right there at the end. Got caught in the wreck. Is it safe to say we are all pulling for him? I think that is a no-brainer there, sir. We are all pulling for Matt D's first victory. Rowdy at the Rowdy Dragons, a Lucky Dog, young Ryan Blaney gets my vote. Kept the car clean and out of harm's way all day to pull off the win. At least he did on Monday. Lap down Rain. I prefer watching the races live. Too many avenues for spoilers to ruin the results early. The bubble was not bulletproof. I hear you. It is not easy in today's day and age to stay in the sports bubble. I've had to pull it off a couple times this year, and it is not easy. And last, Joey at Joey underscore CLT's Lucky Dog, Spencer Boyd with the upset. Awesome victory lane celebration for that team. Absolutely. Lap down Bubba hanging back all race only to get tangled in a two-car wreck at the back of the field. Yes, that definitely is a bummer. All right, those are your tweeted responses. Let's get to the calls on the Wave Around Hotline.
Hi, it's Matt at Mackey up in 1994. I thought this week the race, what a wild and unpredictable Monster Energy Cup Series race this weekend. It was just absolutely something that was well worth watching, and just I really enjoyed the race a lot. It was just something that, you know, Talladega is always so unpredictable, and you never know what you can expect then. We, I think, as fans, really got that this weekend, especially from the Monster Energy Cup Series race this weekend. And the trucks, you know, it was what I was expecting from the trucks. And, you know, the finish, you know, I'll talk more about that in a sec. But first, my lucky dog definitely this weekend has to go to Ryan Blaney. In a must-win situation, as he was 80-something points below the cutoff for the playoffs this weekend. He really came out and really had, especially at the end of that race, you know, the contact. Definitely, I thought, the no call by NASCAR to not, you know, disqualify Ryan Blaney. I think that was a really good call by NASCAR. Ryan Blaney deserved to win that race. And for that reason, definitely big congratulations to Ryan Blaney on the win this weekend down in Talladega. And definitely wish him the best of luck in the next round of playoffs. Definitely something worth watching going into the next round. So for that reason, Ryan Blaney is my lucky dog pick for this weekend. And I got two lap down picks for this weekend. First is Ryan Newman coming 0.07 of a second of winning our race this weekend. It's just unfortunate for Ryan Newman coming that close and You know, he had the lead going into the final turn, and just, you know, it just feels so bad for Ryan Newman, you know, losing, you know, getting second place over Ryan Blaney. But, you know, that's one of my last down picks for this weekend. And the second has to go to NASCAR in the truck race. I thought with the truck race that disqualification by Johnny Sauter, I absolutely do feel that the car behind him started this mess, went below the yellow line, and I feel that Johnny Sauter was trying to go down there to just briefly with the lap down pick, the second one, was that, you know, NASCAR should have, I feel, disqualified the other car behind Johnny Sauter in the truck race. And I just really do feel bad for Johnny Sauter that he got disqualified and got placed as the last car in the lead lap. And I just really do feel bad for Johnny Sauter. And I just feel NASCAR made the wrong decision when it comes to it. I feel they should have absolutely, without a doubt, disqualified the car behind Johnny Sauter, as he was the one that started it, this whole mess. And I don't agree with that at all. And that is the reason why, to me, and again, I'm sorry, you know, for the wrong thing, but, you know, there's a lot that I had to say this week. And I feel, for that reason, second lap down this week has to go to NASCAR. And I feel that they made the wrong decision when it comes to disqualifying Johnny Sauter. So that's it. And sorry about the longness of it, but I apologize. You know, it is a lot to say this week. So anyway, thank you so much.
Oh, Matt, thanks for calling in twice there to get all that in. I love it. You take as much time as you need, my man. Glad to have you call in the last couple weeks. Absolutely awesome. And now I actually have your Twitter so I can tag you and stuff. You know, obviously, Matt, not a fan of the double yellow line rule. And I get it. A lot of people aren't a fan of that. You know, I'll be honest, I really haven't put much thought into the double yellow line rule up until this past weekend. And the verdict's still out for me yet. I'm not sure which way I'm leaning. You know, you mentioned Ryan Newman there. And again, it almost does not pay to be in the lead in the backstretch going into three at Talladega and Daytona. It never seems to work out for those guys. All right, man. Thanks for calling. Got one more call for you guys on the hotline, and you know who it is.
What up, Brandon? Voice of the Wave Hotline calling in for some hot takes from I don't know where to start with the complaining this week for the yellow line rule, but as usual, NASCAR fucks up. I get the bleep button ready because there might be a couple more. They made the absolute right call, Black Flag and Johnny Sauter. That was blatant. My issue comes in the no call, I don't know. And I don't expect anyone to know because they're so damn inconsistent with the officiating of the yellow line rule. Now, I'm not saying we don't need that rule. We absolutely need the rule because you'd have cars going like seven wide down the backstretch at Daytona and Talladega. But they need to find some consistency with this call. I mean, I don't know if – I don't think Blaney was in the wrong. If anyone, it looks like Newman could have been black flagged for forcing Blaney below the yellow line. It's hard to go on precedent because we don't know what the precedent is because they keep it up every time the situation arises. So NASCAR goes a lap down for another shit show of a weekend in Talladega with, you know, 12 cars running at the end with no damage, if that. And then we're going to cut costs. But every time we go to these tracks, you got new bodies and new chassis and everything because we just tear shit up. So, you know, typical restrictor plate, whatever we want to call this. For me, I don't like these tracks. Everyone knows it. That's that. Lap down NASCAR for 100 different reasons. Pick and choose which one your favorite is, I guess. Lucky dog, it's got to be Ryan Blaney. He was not going to make the round of 12 without a win. And I tell you what, he got a big win for him. And that did also affect the points a little bit. Points are a little more spread out. It looks like the round of 8 is set, barring one of the Hendrick cars or Clint Boyer winning. So, I mean, who knows? Bowman and Elliott ran well at Kansas, so I'm thinking they can come in and shake things up next week in Kansas. All right, buddy, I'll talk to you next week.
Mr. Andrew Cantian, thank you for calling in, and definitely got the bleep button there for you. Hope you like the variety there I threw in for you. You know, listening to your call there reminded me of the Lions game. You know, rules, right? All right, fine. Let's have rules, but let's call them like we see them, or let's call them how they play out. Inconsistencies, much ties there between the Monday night football game and how NASCAR made some calls there. Love it. Can't wait to hear you next week. All right, that is going to do it for this week's A Lucky Dog and Lap Down segment, which means it is time for fantasy to close this thing out. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, just a reminder, if you're in the Fantasy League, get your picks in by 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Keep the Twitter interaction up. Only a few more races to go. Before I get to the recap of fantasy, on the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com, click the fantasy link on the homepage. There is a survey button there. Feel free, even if you are not in the Fantasy League playing currently, but intend to play next year. You obviously have heard how the fantasy segment works and all that. Feel free to chime in with your suggestions, comments, what you like, what you don't like. So that'll be up through the end of the season. Go check out that link on the laptrafficpodcast.com under the fantasy page. Let me know what you think coming up for next year. So the fantasy's bigger and better. All right, winning picks. Nobody took Spencer Boyd. To be fair, no one in the playoffs took Johnny Sauter either. And only one player took Ryan Blaney. So that definitely helped Chad Robb out, who is still in the lead. I'll get to the point standings in a minute. Unfortunately, Chad was not going to be able to call in tonight for his picks. I reached out to Mick. Mick had some things going on. And then I'm like, well, I could keep digging. But I knew the show was going to go long. So no guest picker this evening. Hopefully be able to resume that next week. All right. The point standings with a one race to go before we chop four more off. It is Chad Robb still in first, but not by much. 488 points to David James in second with 482. Brad Carnes in third with 475. Greg Whited in third with 475. David Mullins, 469. Aaron Studwell, 465. Jess Rose in seventh, 459. Mick Rose in eighth, 458. Ted Anderson in ninth with 453. Matt Crowd in 10th with 447. John Etwinsel in 11th with 444. And Robert Keplinger wraps out the top 12 with 437. So right now it's Rob, John, Matt, and Ted on the verge of not making it to the next round. Good luck, guys. That said, I am ready to make some picks. We are headed to Kansas for a race number three of round number two. Not a lot of manufacturer trends of late at Kansas. All three manufacturers have gotten their piece of the pie at Kansas as of late, with Ford picking up the latest win here in the spring with Brad Keselowski. Chase Elliott picked up the fall win last year for Chevy, and Ford took it again in the spring last year with Kevin Harvick. And Toyota swept 2017 at Kansas with Martin Truex Jr. So lots of playoff guys could be in the mix, and Chase Elliott definitely needs to defend the crown if he wants to have a good chance of moving on and punching his ticket to the next round. Not a lot of manufacturer trends, and not too much in the form of driver trends either, with the exception of Martin Truex Jr., who has two wins and four top fives in the last five races at Kansas. Elliott has a win and two top fives in the last five. Harvick and Brad each have a win and two top fives in the last five races. Kyle Busch only two top fives in the last five races. The field could be pretty even headed into Kansas this week. Who secures their spot for the next round? Who is able to put this past weekend at Talladega behind them? We'll find out on Sunday, but first, it's time for my lone non-playoff picks. I'll be quick. Xfinity Series. I'm going to go with Chase Briscoe this weekend. And for my cup pick this weekend to get it done and into the next round, Alex Bowman is my pick for this weekend.
All right, Lap Traffic Nation, that is going to do it for episode 154 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. Make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. Subscribe, download, review the show on iTunes, Podbean, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Big, big thanks to Brian Newdorf, Tyler Ankrum, and Spencer Boyd for coming on the show this week. I think next week's guests are already a lock. Stay tuned to Twitter for that. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. I'm out of here. See ya.